I saw that.
Your man was surprised yesterday, wasn't he? He said, I didn't know nothing. I wonder, why are we going to eat with a bunch of little kids? From the baseball team. Why are we going to eat with a kid?
Because it's our grandbaby and we go wherever he goes.
Yeah, right, exactly. So that was fun. We had a good time. Brother Joe's 75th birthday party. Surprise. It was a surprise.
Everything was so good.
All right. Yeah, everything was good. We appreciate that. Thank you. I know it was an effort.
We appreciate y'all coming in.
Wow, we have a blast.
So you got a house full of furniture. You got a house full of people.
The furniture and kids and young. Yeah. Maggie looked really good. Yeah. She looked in good spirits yesterday.
She's so. Blue. She's real blue.
Blue. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oxygen.
They found something on her echo. We won't find out until tomorrow.
Her heart?
Yeah.
Okay. Who is that?
My mom. They said maybe part oxygen, part something wrong with her heart.
Okay. All right, well, let's go ahead. We read chapter 2 of Hebrews. Thank you all for being here. We already talked about some things, so we're not going to go over those. Let's go to verse 11 and back up. We went to verse 14, but let's go to verse 11.
What chapter did you say?
Hebrews chapter 2. For both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one. I need to make myself a note of that.
Did you turn everything on?
Yeah, everything's on, but I need to make a note right here on the notes. Alright. For both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one. Because he's talking about Jesus Christ. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Because what happened was we were talking last Sunday, verse 9, but we see Jesus who was made a little lower than the angels. See what we were talking about in our illustration. Here is eternity up this way. And here is time down this way. Alright? Now the Creator and the creation began in eternity, and then when the fall happened, then we had time. Alright, so this is an eternal line here. Eternity is always up here. Jehovah God, He was the Son of God, the Creator, the one to create. And what did He do is when the fall happened, He had to, this man, this Spirit God had to become a flesh God to take away our sin because Adam and Eve sinned in their flesh. They didn't sin in their soul. Their soul was eternal. They sinned in their flesh. Alright? And it was animal flesh. Someone asked one time, and I kind of want to clear this up. It was a good question. Someone said, well, why did God put us in this kind of flesh, with, you understand what I mean, with the organs and everything that we are, the human, male and female, if He knew what we were going to do? Well, see, in creative evolution, which we believe in creative evolution, God created the animals first. Well, they were procreating with a male part and a female part before even up in here. When God created the heavens and the earth and created everything before the sixth day, when He created the animals, they were procreating. They were having babies. Okay? But what happened when God, He took and just put us, this is human flesh, but this is animal flesh. This is animal. God couldn't get away from the pattern of a male and female dog, male and female cat, male and female this. So when He took Eve out of the side of Adam, He put her in a female body of flesh according to what He had already created in the animals. And He put Adam in male flesh from what the male part is of the animal kingdom. Everybody's trying to find a missing link. We all were in school trying to find a missing link. Well, we know it was that beast, so God in creative evolution, He creates up higher. Fifth day, He creates the beast and the animals. We created the beast, which is the one between monkey and man. All right, He gave that species a human-like body. We say human-like body, but really, this is flesh animal. It comes from animal. Now, we know we're human. Now, you don't get me wrong. But in creative evolution, God couldn't create male and female, male and female, male and female, and then us with no way to reproduce. But we weren't supposed to reproduce that way. We were supposed to reproduce by the spoken word, which comes from the inside. This guy right here is all male, no doubt. Son of God is a male. He's a man. He's not a woman. He's a man. All right? But you know, it doesn't take a woman for him to create. He created without... Sure, we were all inside of him. We know that. But there wasn't two people standing up there. There was one created God. But when he come down here to come in human flesh to take away the sin curse, he had to come through a womb, a human womb, to take the sin curse away, even from the womb all the way down. All right? So it's not, and then like Brother Brown said, when we go back to that theophany body, which is inside of us, it's not going to be for sexual pleasure or anything like that. It's going to be the spoken word is the original seed. Sure, God's got a bride, and we all are feminine in nature. But that person inside of us is not a girl. The person inside of us is a man. Christ Jesus, in spirit form now again, in the Son of God, that come through the church ages, but he had to come down in flesh, because look, this is man blood. Son of man, is God with blood. Everybody got that? That's what the Son of Man, that's why Brother Brown could not be the Son of Man. He was born sexual birth. No one born sexual birth is good. No one. Period. So Brother Brown was not the Son of Man. Jesus Christ was the Son of Man because he was born without sex at all. Nothing. You and I were, and that's what I told him in the Philippines. I said, you look around. I said, I might be an American. You might be a Filipino. You might be a this or that. We come the exact same way. No one came different. We all come by sex. Every person on the face of this earth, I don't care if it's artificial insemination, it came by the act of a male and female. There had to be an act of something being done. So, but not with this man. So this is the Son of Man. But he had to come back to be the head, so that we can be the body. He had a physical body on earth, but he took that physical body over into another dimension, and now we're his body. We're the bride, we're the body of God. Alright? Which makes us, like Brother Dale's preaching, and we are in the end time, we are the Son of Man as a collective body of believers. We believe that now God is transforming from the inside out, changing us into that form that's inside of us. That's why that I don't say it as a joke, but people like Sister Cleta, the ones that are heading toward their end, seemingly in their older age, they're that close to their new body. I mean, to their change. You say, no, they're going to die. Well, no, what are they going to do? They're going to let them die. They're going to step over in another dimension. Be more alive than they are here, because in here you got pain and suffering and all that stuff. But over there, there's not. So that's why Christ came. But see, he was made lower than the angels. No angel created by God can be a son of man or a son of God. Okay? Angels are created beings for worship. Now they do make a choice, because Satan made a choice, because God said, I made you perfect. Ezekiel, I made you perfect until iniquity was found in you. So he made a choice. And part of the angels made a choice to go with Satan. That's who's bothering us now. But part of them didn't. Okay? So they do make a choice, but they're not ever in flesh. They're worship beings. They're actually God's helpers. As we read in verse 1, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Now, who's the heirs of salvation? We are. We're the only ones that are the heirs of salvation, all right, that I can see today. You understand what I'm saying? But you're given an angel, the prophet of God told us, an angel at birth to take care of you. Now, that's not your theophany. I've heard people in the message preach that that was just no way. Your theophany is not an angel. Your theophany is you.
Is it in you at birth?
Your theophany is. I don't understand that. I really don't. I don't understand that God gives you a spirit. I think what that is, that spirit being that inside of you, is somehow, it has to be, once this come down here, because remember, Jesus Christ, when he was born, he was Almighty God. He didn't have a spiritual being of no one else. Okay? His nature was the nature of God. But remember when he was... Now that didn't make... When he come out of the crib, he stood up and started speaking. No. He was... for a lack of words, he was encapsulated in a human body and could not get out. He had to be our brother, he had to be born just like we are in that way. Not by sex, but by that way, through the womb. But when he come out, he was Almighty God. The Bible said he was Emmanuel, God with us. Right? But he had to grow in grace and knowledge, the Bible said. He was made perfect. Why? Because he was encapsulated by that humanity that he come into. Alright? But now, see, that's different from me and you. We weren't born with the Holy Spirit as our spirit. We were born with a spiritual part of us. Memory, reason, conscience, faith, imagination. Now, remember, those things don't develop much until you're older. You don't have a memory when you were sucking your bottle. So you're developing that. But now the soul is inside of you. I don't know that it's a little baby. I don't understand. Because remember, the age of accountability is when you begin to make a choice of your memory, reasoning, conscious, affection, imagination. Because it's not bad for a 5-year-old kid to imagine things. Or use their, you know, don't have much of a memory, but like Brother Brown said, you put the 5-year-old boy and the 5-year-old girl in the bathtub, give them a shower, and they play with their toys and don't even worry about anything else going on. But don't put a 15-year-old kid and a 15-year-old boy and a 15-year-old girl in the shower. You get a whole different idea.
A baby.
Huh? Probably, yes. You get another one just like them. So, but it's the same two people. But what's developed in their mind is what I'm saying is about even with Jesus, he didn't come out of the womb quoting scripture. Yet he was the Word made flesh. He had to develop as a child. Now, when he got 13 years old, which I believe that's where Brother Brown kind of got his... Because listen, you can't... An age of accountability, Brother Brown says, is when you realize right from wrong. That could be 13 or 30. And with some that... And this is another thing. See, we can... What are we getting into? You quit asking so many questions. Getting off the subject. But listen, what about somebody that's retarded? Now listen, God didn't give them a retarded soul. God gave them a perfect soul. But what they were born into... Their genetic makeup, some way, and their spiritual being got messed up somewhere. Because God didn't put a slow learning soul, or I don't even like to say retarded. But remember, Brother Brown said they'll go to heaven. They have a special angel, he said. A special angel is given to a retarded person. Why? Because he knows it's going to hurt him all through his life. And... That's why, just for an example, like Donnie's brother, Tommy, he was hurt at birth, all right, 5 or 6 years old. He's in a car run over him or something. Well, he's been slow and not right. Well, he's got more chance to get to heaven than, I told them, than some of them brothers sitting there that think they're religious. He's got more chance of getting into heaven, which I believe he will, because God said through a prophet that when somebody's retarded like that, well, see, that's not, his soul's not retarded. But what happened to what he was living in was messed up. Okay, so you see, that's why I thank God, Brother Brown, give us a definition of a body, a spirit, and a soul. And even told us that you could commit suicide and still be a born-again believer. Now, buddy, that don't fly in the denomination. Denomination, especially the Baptist. If you commit suicide, that's your straight ticket to Hades. There is no maybe. Trust me. I've talked to them. They said, no, there's no way. No. I said, man, they just lose their mind. Yeah, just lost their mind and did what they did, you know. But thank God for a prophet that kind of separated all that out for us and gave us the definition of a body, spirit, and soul. But Jesus Christ came on earth, made himself lower than the angels, right? Which we got there in verse 9. He was made lower than the angels. Why? Because an angel doesn't walk around in this dimension in human flesh. No, they're spiritual beings. They can move in and out. They're not completely in that box, like I said before. Okay. You and I got caught in the box. When Adam and Eve did what they did, there's...
trash.
Hmm? Yeah, trash, that's right. Thank you. Here you got three dimensions, and you're stuck in that. You and I are stuck in three dimensions. Life, like matter. Fourth is radio waves, and we can't pick up. Can you pick up a radio wave in your head? Now, some people may pick up voices in their head. But you see what I mean? So Christ, when he came, though, he had to be stuck in them three dimensions.
Be our brother.
He had to be our brother. Right. To be our total example, to even be the headship. That's why we can't understand this guy here. How can you understand a guy that just... What was he standing on when he created everything?
He was a spirit.
And being a spirit.
Don't matter. He had to be somewhere. Brother Brown said he's not a spirit like that. He's not. He's not a spirit that's just a fog. Just he's always been human, or we were made fogs. Genesis 1 said, let us make man in our likeness and in our image. God's always been a human being. Always been a human being. But what was he standing on when he said, let there be over here this galaxy with the 7 billion stars, and let there be this over here? But that same person came down here in human flesh so that we can understand him. Because he said, I came from God and I go back to God.
Well, there wasn't gravity, so he could have just been there.
He could have just been there somewhere. But you understand what I'm saying? That we could not comprehend. That's why in the Old Testament there was no comprehension of God. He was just this something so massive that we couldn't understand him. And even when when Moses went up on Mount Horeb to get the word of the Lord, you know, remember the people said, no, Moses, you going up there and get it. No, God wanted to talk to all the people. Because he told Moses, he said, you bring your people to this mountain when you get out of Egypt, and I'll talk to all of them. Remember what they said? No, Moses, you going up there and get them. You know, they were scared. They were afraid of this big guy named God. But we're not, because remember, we can now come boldly to the throne of grace. We come boldly to this. Well, remember, this man in spirit form would come down into the temple, into the Holy of Holies. And you couldn't even look at him, except you was a high priest and you had to do exactly what was said or they drug you out dead. Remember, they couldn't even touch the ark. Remember the guy that... I mean, what about a nice guy like that? He sees the ark getting ready to tip over, and he reaches up to push the ark back up. God kills him. Why? Because he couldn't break his law. His law said you couldn't touch the ark. But thank God we can touch it now. We can touch this thing now. We can touch Jesus Christ. Because he, this great one, he funneled himself down to this man called Jesus Christ. All right? Which is the Son of Man, which was made lower than the angels. He took on man blood or man flesh. Listen, Brother Brown said Jesus could have had children. So that means he, in all functions, he was a male. All functions. So he wasn't this elevated something. Well, we know he was inside, but he was encapsulated, like I said, in that human body. He obviously had to sleep. He had to eat. He had to do things of life. But he sanctified himself, remember. I set myself apart. I sanctify myself for this situation, which is wonderful. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death. Because remember, he can't die up here. Son of God never, never, never died. The Son of Man died. Now when the Son of Man died, he released that was caught inside of him, which was the Son of God. He released that life to go back into theophany form. Alright? Theophany form is not some mist of rain. It's a person. God's always looked like he did. He's never changed. He's always been, like I said before, he's always been a 20-year-old guy. Always. He's never been old. Yes?
All those people that Brother Graham saw when he went on the other side, mm-hmm. They were in their theophanies.
That's right.
And he felt them, hugged them. And
sure. That theophany body is real.
Yeah.
It's a real body. It is not a where you put your hand through, you know. Jesus even proved that even in a glorified body. When he came back, he walked through a concrete wall, yet he ate fish. right?
Yeah.
Remember he appeared in front of them?
Yep.
And then disappeared out of their sight? You know, a theophany body that eat a piece of fish and it didn't hit the floor, it went somewhere. God got a stomach? Yeah, God got a stomach. You don't have a stomach. You're human. But now remember, there is a connection there, because remember those people across the curtain of time said, we don't eat over here. So you have to be careful. They don't eat. Remember they told him, we don't eat over here. What? They're waiting to come back and get the body they ate in. This body.
That's what they told him. This body.
Yes. So they come back and get this body. It meshes together, makes it glorified, just like Jesus did. So that's what crowned him with glory and honor. Prophet of God said, hanging on the cross, that's okay. But when he come out of that tomb and said, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me, no man had ever done that before. Oh yeah, there had been people raised from the dead. We know that. But nobody had ever went from mortal to immortality. That's what the Bible says. No man has reached immortality except one man. And that's Jesus Christ. That's why when Brother Brown wanted to see Jesus, he was back up here in this dimension where you couldn't see him. He was in the seventh dimension. But he took that glorified body with him. Remember, this body had to be made eternal. Jesus Christ's body got an inheritance. It was eternal life. Preached that many times before. Many times. Brother Brown says, the eternal life that he inherited. Because Jesus Christ, when he came on this earth as the Son of Man, he didn't have an eternal body. He looked 50 years old and he was only 30. So his body was wore out, right? So obviously that wasn't eternal. But what I was saying the other day, when he walked out of that tomb, he didn't have that old body anymore. He was a young boy. That's why Mary Magdalene didn't know who he was. He turned back to a 20-year-old person. He had connected back with that theophany that was inside of him. That guy. They said, "Let us make man." That's why Jesus Christ said, before Abraham was, I am. The I am was back there. Jesus Christ wasn't back there. The flesh man. The I am was back there, though. This is the I am right here. The Son of God is the I am. Moses, I am that I am. Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. Then you come over to Revelation 1, he says, I am the Alpha and Omega. I am all these things, all right? That's what we're trying to get the people in the Philippines to see. We'll talk a little bit about it today. To see that now that if that guy is the I am, then if he's inside of you, what does that make you? That makes you the I am. I come from God, I go back to God. We don't start believing that, we're going to just keep going. We're just going to keep dying. We have made ourselves a second person separate from God. That's why we're dying. It ain't hair and dress and no TV and washing dishes and whatever, you know, that's a laundry list. Now, if we don't truly believe that now our flesh, in our flesh, we are God made manifest in another form called a bride, we're just going to keep dying. Because the Son of Man proved that the body change can happen. This guy didn't need a body change. This guy didn't need no change. And he hadn't changed since eternity. But this man, to come down to be your brother, that flesh he was in had to be made eternal. So he inherited eternal life in his flesh. You and I inherit eternal life in the flesh. Jesus didn't come to bring you an inheritance. No. If he came to bring you an inheritance, it had a beginning. He came to return us back to our inheritance. What got cut off was when this was went into time, that cut off our inheritance of being spoken word children. There has no one since Adam been a spoken word child except that man right there. But by the word coming back in the end time in the Son of Man ministry to prove that God is now in human flesh, your flesh and my flesh, that we can take a body change while we're standing on earth. We don't have to die. Okay? To me, that's the whole essence of this message. The essence of this message is not hair and dress and being good. That was way before Brother Ram got here. Right. It was lost in the traditions of doctrine of denomination.
Right.
Brother Branham came back to, Jesus Christ came back through William Branham to tell us that we are now sons and daughters of God. We are the Son of Man made manifest. We are God in human flesh. Brother Branham, a long time ago, preached God in flesh. And then remember he went to, had the India trip. So he's been, that was his whole goal, was to turn us back and to bring this revelation of who this man was, that he's not up here anymore. Sure, he came back in the form of the Holy Ghost, the Son of God, to go inside of you, but still, that's not all. Because if you just got the Holy Ghost inside of you, you're going to die. I'm just going to prove it to you. It's happening already. It's been happening. Brother Branham's dead. Mm-hmm. Brother Tatum. Brother Moe.
Brother Duncan.
Brother Duncan. Hold on. Sister Duncan.
That's right.
They've all passed on. They're over there in their theophany having a wonderful time in the Lord in another dimension, waiting on us to destroy death over here. Because why would you come back into a place that there's still death? And they will be to the outside world, but in Goshen, where the bride is, death will be destroyed. We're not going to get anywhere. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. See, that's why I was thinking of, that's why Pilate didn't care. Everybody, they were going, wow, this guy's wanting to make himself a king. You know, the Jews, this guy's wanting to make himself a king. Pilate said, are you trying to make yourself a king? What did Jesus say? He said, if my kingdom was of this earth, in other words, if my kingdom was of this earth, you wouldn't have a chance.
That's right.
You wouldn't have a chance. But he said, my kingdom's not of this world. Pilate said, he's just a lunatic like the rest of them. Let him go. Let him take his little group and go out in the desert, you know, and he'll just die a normal death like that other guy did. Remember the Bible said somebody took 400 out into the wilderness and they all perished. Well, that's what Pilate was not fearful of, Jesus setting up a kingdom in his kingdom. In Pilate's kingdom. You understand? That's why he said, I find no fault in this man. And then, of course, you know, the Jews, what they did, they didn't want him to be the king. So that's what happened. That he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man, which he did. The Son of Man died. Son of God can't die. But the Son of God inside the Son of Man was captured inside that body and had to be broken to be released. And that's what happened at Calvary. He broke open and he released the body. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. No man killed Jesus. He died himself. He died when he wanted to die. He didn't die when somebody made him die. He died when he wanted to die. Alright? For it became him for whom are all things. Well, he was the creator. And by whom all things, and bringing many sons unto his glory, which is us, to make the captain of our salvation perfect through suffering. So Christ was made perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. He didn't say two. It says one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, and in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, that's you and me, we partook, not eat, we are partakers. When we were born with flesh and blood. He also himself likewise took part of the same. What I just say. Baby was born in the womb. He was a little baby. He cried. He had to have milk. He had to learn to walk. He didn't just come out of the womb quoting scripture and walking into the temple. No, there's nothing taught of him until about 13 years old. And then he goes into the temple, and like I said, I believe that maybe where Brother Brown kind of got the age of accountability being about 13 to 14 years old. So there was Jesus in the temple talking to the priest. So he had learned some things, right? All right, so now, let's see what that shared. Part of the same, that through death, he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Because when this happened and we stepped down into time, we stepped into who? Satan's domain. We fell. That's why they call it the fall. We fell. from something. But now what does redemption do, though? Redemption takes from whatever you fell to, it takes you back to where you fell from. Okay? And deliver them that through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And it's still happening now. That's been 2,000 years ago. And same thing happening now. Right? For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Remember, he was Isaac was the natural seed of Abraham. Christ is the spiritual seed of Abraham. Because remember, it says in Galatians, not two seeds as of many, but one seed, which is Christ. That one seed is come from the faith seed of Abraham, not the natural genetic seed. A natural genetic sperm seed will kill you. I don't care what you, where you put it and whatever happens. We're dead in that. That's what killed Adam and Eve, was the having the literal life. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, us, that he might be merciful and might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Now, there's no sin from here up. This is the eternal line, remember. There's no sin up here. He had to bring himself down into sin. He wasn't born in sin, but he was born in sin. A sinful place. He was not born in sin. He was born in a sinful place. Hey, why does his body get old? Because he was born in a sinful place. The fall. Everything had fell down. All right? But remember, like I said, when he come out of that tomb, he wasn't no 30-year-old man that looked 50. Please. Lord, no. That theophany inside that man was never got older than 20 years old. That's why I believe Brother Reynolds took that 20 years old, the prime of life. God, listen, God's not one millisecond older than he was when he said, let there be light. We just don't understand that. But when he came down here and became the Son of Man, we understand him more, because now we can talk about going back up here and say, well, this guy never got old, but this guy did. He got old because of me and you. He didn't get old because he needed to or wanted to. He got old because of me and you. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be merciful and a merciful and faithful high priest. What? To us. He's our high priest by what? Gee, I preached on it in the Philippines. Isaiah 51. Which one is that? 52. 53. 57. Where he says, who has believed our report? Who has declared? Who will declare his generation? Isaiah 53. To become a faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. See, what we don't understand is Christ can do nothing else but what he did on the cross and what he did coming out of the tomb. He can do nothing else besides that. We just have not come to a position of believing that it's already done. It's finished. I mean, there's nothing that Christ has got to come back to do except get his people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted. Brother Bram said he was tempted of women. Mary Magdalene was a prostitute. And he didn't live with her. You understand what I mean? But he lived in the same household because it was Lazarus, him, Mary Magdalene, Margaret,
Martha.
Thank you. They all lived together. I mean, they lived in the same area. Lazarus? Yeah, Lazarus was there with them all. If you'll read, you'll see them all kind of together sometimes, you know. So I'm sure he was tempted, but he is able to succor or to aid or help them that are tempted. That's us. Is that okay?
Yeah.
That's us. Now remember, man put chapter 3 in there. This is a continuous writing of Paul. He's writing a letter, and this is a continual writing because he's continuing his thought. Man put that chapter 3 in there. So what's he saying? Wherefore? What is wherefore? Listen to what I was just saying. Because I'm going to summarize this whole thing up right here. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. He narrows it down to one man, Christ Jesus. All that in chapter 1 and 2. It started off in chapter 1. God, who in sundry times and divers manners spake to the prophets, spake through the prophets, now speaks through his Son. Well, who's the Son? Christ Jesus. Who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses. Why? Because he's Almighty God. Inasmuch as he who hath builded the house had more honor than the house. Christ built the house. Moses didn't build the house. You understand what I mean? He built the natural temple. But God's the one that built everything else. In other words, you go back to the same thing about the potter and the clay. How can we... There's no way we can say you made me this way. There's no way you can say that. Alright? Because everybody was made with a choice. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. Why? Because he's the creator. He created all things. Alright? And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after or afterwards. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if, big word right there, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Okay? Remember I told you one of my favorite scriptures, he who endures to the end shall be saved. That's really a promise. You got to endure to the end. Listen, we've been in this thing a long time now. You say, well, we haven't got no results. Well, then you're just not, maybe you're not part of the results. Okay. Maybe you're not part of the results. If you don't see that there's any results or anything going on in your life, then don't blame anybody else. Right. Blame yourself. Yeah. But if you do what God said, you might receive the blessing. What was that? But Christ is the Son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost has said today, if you will hear his voice. Now watch. Watch. Here is, remember we talked about interpolating, for those of you who weren't here. It's not interpretating, it's interpolating. It means that you're going to stop just a second and you're going to make this, wherefore, if you take all that, take this out. See that parentheses over there? It ends right here. So Paul is interpolating. He actually interjects this himself to explain what he's fixing to talk about. Because look, it's supposed to say, wherefore, hang on. I can't do that. I got to do it. Wherefore, take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. That's the way it should have been written. But Paul interpolates, wherefore, stop a minute, I'm going to explain what this wherefore is going to be. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear his voice, actually, most of the time when Paul interpolates, he's quoting you the Old Testament.
Right.
Because that is exactly an Old Testament scripture. Almost verbatim. As the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Now what is that? That's back in the children of Israel in the wilderness. They were provoking God. That's what provocation means. Or rebellion. In the day of the temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my way. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. He's explaining what God's fixing, what God wrote, told Paul to write. Now I'm sure God told him to write this, because it wouldn't be in the Bible if it wouldn't. But that was the great apostle Paul interpolating and telling us, explaining to us what God has told him to write down. Because watch. What did this talk about? This talked about that generation we preach on this because we'll see in some of the things this afternoon. The theme of Brother Royal's anniversary meeting was the Joshua generation, the ones that rose up and went over, because the old ones did not. They did not enter into the promised land. Now, the promised land is rest. The Holy Ghost is our promised land. It's a type of what they went over into. Everybody understand that? What the children of Israel went over into was the rest. And you know who went? The old fighters all died. It was only Joshua and Caleb and the young people that were 20 years old and younger that started the journey. Well, they had grown up and got older, but all those old fighters had died. God had to get rid of them because he told them. He said, they're all dead. Remember Jesus said, we eat man in the wilderness? And Jesus said, yeah, they're all dead. That word dead is eternally separated. They had to all die off because why? They were unbelievers. Joshua and Caleb was the only two true believers that started the whole journey. Yeah. All right? They were the only ones that believed. And then they got the other group to start believing. All right, look. They shall not enter into my rest. So now, wherefore? Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. See, that's what God's trying to get us to see. But he told Paul to go back into the Old Testament and bring up a group of people that were unbelievers departing from the living God. That's that whole interpolating right there. If you ever see that parentheses, that is Paul explaining what's coming up. Everybody okay with that?
Yeah.
Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. All right, let's go. We'll start right there. Next Sunday.